Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 48th Annual Sun and Fun International Expo. I'm Ben Coleman, your anchor host here for the Florida Aviation Network, coming to you live and in the clear. And it is always a pleasure to be here, and sometimes it's more of a pleasure than others, and this is one of those times. We have some recipients of some awards, and you know, it's not everybody gets an award in aviation, but it's when it's you do something just a little bit above and beyond, and you're recognized for it. And the industry has opportunities for just about anyone to get involved if they want to further themselves, further the industry, and also make a statement. And we have two guys here that, and it could be gals. I look forward to getting some lady recipients because I'd much rather talk to the ladies than the men. Because these guys are, they're just all over the place. They're naturals. We have Mike, we have Dave. Mike,
Welcome, Ben.
Everhart. Dave
you.
Conrad.
Dave.
Nice. Good to see you. And we call it Dave, New York Dave. I don't know why. Say something, Dave.
How you guys doing over there?
Yeah, there that's what go. I'm talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Mike, you're a good old Southern boy.
I am.
So we've got the best two worlds, the North and the South here. But we have one thing in common, guys, and that's aviation safely. Aviation done safely. And Mike, because I'm partial to mechanics, because Dave's more of an operational side of the house, mechanics, we have a big, big task ahead of us keeping these pilots safe. And tell us a little bit about what Mike Everhart's kind of philosophy on how you, when you send an airplane out after you do an inspection, do a repair, and after you put your name on the dotted line and you approve it for return to service, who actually returns that airplane to service?
I do, I guess.
Who's the first one that flies it? Who's the first one that flies it?
The owner or the pilot. But you know, the thing what I tell all owners, and that I do the annuals, and anytime I do an annual on an airplane, when I get done fixing an airplane, it's safe for flight. I'll put my family in it. We'll go fly. So if I'll do that, then the airplane's safe to get into, and it's safe to fly. Now, if I don't feel that way, then they're on their own.
It's going out of there on a trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And has that ever happened before?
Airplanes on a trailer?
Yeah.
No, there's never been an airplane on a trailer that left our shop, but there have been airplanes that left our shop in the middle of the night. So.
Oh, that sounded like a good story.
Well, yeah, that airplane came from the Bahamas.
Oh, so, okay.
But there have been airplanes that were in our shop. When they left, they flew out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done two of those.
And, Mike, we try to make a little bit of jab a little bit of fun at this, but it's a very, very serious business. And you have been recognized as, you know, being the aviation maintenance tech of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't come accidentally, because your dedication to the industry and to our vocation, which is fixing airplanes and making sure that they meet their type design. In case you're working on, unless you're working on experimental aircraft, do you do work on experimental or light sports?
I work on everything.
Okay.
So, you know, and the thing is all the airplanes, my experience goes, it's a big wide range from airlines down to, I think the smallest one I've ever worked on was a 1946 Funk.
Mm.
So that was an interesting project because there's no maintenance manuals for that. So how do you do maintenance on that airplane?
Common sense.
No, you have to use the 4313. That's the one you have to use. So, because there's no manuals. But that's the thing. Anytime you do maintenance, you have to go with the manuals.
And I'm going to throw this back out there, and we're going to make them look it up because I talked earlier about resourcing and being resourceful. We want everybody to look up the 4313. What the heck is a 4313? And we're not going to tell them. They got to look it up. Mike, let's switch over to, because I noticed he was starting to get a little tear in his eye. Dave, he was starting to feel a little bit left out over there. But Dave, tell us about your fast team rep. What do you do to be a fast team rep? What do you do?
So what do? I do outreach. I go out to various schools. I promote aviation. I promote safety. I speak to CFIs, to students about getting involved in the WINGS program. Sort of like a five-hour defensive course for drivers, but it's for pilots, you know, to help them to stay proficient, help them practice scenarios that they're not comfortable doing by themselves, help them get them outside of the comfort zone, just flying from point A to point B. Talk to them about the benefits that they get money for this as well, awards, discounts on the insurance. They register with the FAA. And explain to them the statistics that those that accidents are caused more by those that don't go to safety seminars than those that do. So it's very rewarding.
Do you have to go to college to be a FAA fast team rep?
You got to get a PhD, and just kidding. No, you don't. You know, anyone can get involved. You don't have to be a CFI. You don't have to be a DPE. You could just be a pilot. And I really encouraged it. You know, we have safety seminars, and it's a good way to network. It's a good way to fellowship, you know, and share your stories. So, no, you don't need a college degree.
But you do need to have kind of a story to tell or a story to listen to, because sometimes you get more out of the audience than you do, you know, us talking to ourselves. You can go talk to a mirror all day long. But
that's
it's
right.
Sharing stuff out to the field. And one thing I didn't tell you guys is we have tally lights now. So if you want to say something to those 200,000 people out there, is it 200 or 250,000 now, Obi? It's 250? All right, so about 250,000 people you're reaching through that little red light right there. So we don't get locked up talking to each other. But back to Ed. Tell us, you have been a technician as long as I've known you, and we go back, you'd think it was like a bromance here, because, God, we go back 30-something years.
Mid-80s.
Yeah. And it was, when did you get involved with aircraft maintenance?
1981, when I joined the Navy.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was stationed overseas with a VR squadron. We were a COD squadron. I don't know if anybody don't know what that is. It's carry-on board delivery, and our aircraft were C-1s, C-2s. We had Sabreliners and RH-53 helicopters. So my specialty was I started out on the C-1s working on round engines, and then I got moved up to the turboprops. Which helps me out today, because that's what I do now, is I work on King Airs. So Pratt & Whitney engines, not Allison's. But I started out that when I was in the reserves, I went into general aviation and worked for Executive Air Center at Orlando Executive Airport under Dave Harmon. That's where he taught me. He was my mentor. He's the one that showed me the right way to do things in general aviation. And it just went from there. So, and you know, the thing is with an AMP certificate, it's a license to learn. So once you get this thing, you just keep going and going and going, and you'll learn. And I don't know everything about all these airplanes, and I've worked on a lot of airplanes, but I don't know everything about any of the airplanes. And if you learn thinking that in your mind that, hey, I know everything there is about this airplane, well, you might as well go change another job. Mm-hmm. Get into something else, because that's when you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mistakes kill people.
And how valuable, this is kind of a loaded question. Well, actually, to both of you guys, both of yous, yous guys.
Yous?
Yous. how important is being resourceful enough to know where to find the right answer, is it, in your industry?
Go ahead.
No, it's to get involved. It's to get involved and utilize all your resources. And that's what I do anyway. And we got plenty of books. We got plenty of information. I go to FAA website. I go to the FAST team websites. Library.
And you got your go-to guy. I'm sure.
I got YouTube
person.
And all of that.
Yeah.
That is correct.
But you got to have your go-to location or people or person or you got to know where to get the information, the right stuff.
That's right.
And for example, just an example, I know this isn't about me, but I ask folks when they check out their FARs and they bring their little book of FARs in, the reprint. And I said, well, are you going to use that book for your reference today as we're doing your tests? I said, yes, sir. Are those regulations current? I said, yeah, it says right here, 2022 edition. It's current. Really? It's not off the Federal Register? That's current. Because, I mean, that reprinted book was current the date that it was printed. But, you know, it's little details like that. The maintenance manuals. You're going to use a book that's been up on the shelf for, you know, you've used it the last 3 years. What's wrong with it?
It depends on what aircraft it is.
That's true.
Now it's a 1973 Piper Arrow. That manual's current.
Mm-hmm. Because there hadn't been any reprints since then.
Right.
However, this is where I'm just trying to pull out of everyone. Use the latest, the proper, correct, current data. And you guys, you go out probably, Dave, and talk to the public a lot more, I'm going to say, than Ed. Ed goes out and puts on presentations. As a matter of fact, tell us about the presentation coming up.
Ed.
I'm sorry, Mike. Everhart. Where did Ed come from? Oh, we were just talking about Redfield.
Oh, looks like an Ed.
Old boss.
Mike, tell us about what you have coming up.
Well, I just did a webinar here a couple weeks ago, but I've got another webinar that I created. It's through the FAST team. It's a FAST team webinar. It doesn't have anything to do with the FAA. There's no meatball on it or anything. Mm-hmm. And it deals with magnetos. It's April 24th. It's in the evening at 7 o'clock at night. So everybody that gets home from work, they can sit down and eat dinner, then sit and watch this program. And it's on magnetos. So this is mainly for the pilots who do not know what a magneto is or how a magneto works. I've put together this program. It's on slick magnetos and Bendix magnetos. Mm-hmm. Talks about all the pieces and parts on this magneto and what they do. So it's a good informational program. So I've sent it over to the Greensboro FISDO. The FAST team program manager there said it was one of the best programs he's ever seen. So, and we set up a date. It's April 24th. So anybody out there wants to sit in on a good program, it's April 24th at 7 o'clock in the evening. Sit in and listen to me ramble about magnetos.
Do you get into setting points and or just more the
details? No, it's just the basic information to let everybody know what's inside that magneto, what everything does in the magneto. Because the owners of these airplanes cannot take these magnetos off. You cannot take them apart unless you've got an AMP sitting there looking over your shoulder telling you how to do that. You can't do that. You can't even time the magneto to the engine. So, but this gives the owners and operators and also young AMPs that don't know anything about magnetos what the pieces are inside, what everything does. So, mm-hmm. and it just, it's a good informational program.
It's important to know your systems.
Yeah, so I did a series of webinars on preventive maintenance early on last year. We went through and did tire changes, spark plugs, oil changes. So we did a lot of programs that we created, and you know, I put them together. My Fast Tank program manager in Greensboro would add to it, tinker with it a little bit, and then we would present the programs.
I tell you, the I'm looking forward to somebody trying to get a magneto with an impulse coupling on it,
mm-hmm.
and get like Dave to hold one of the leads and to hold a mag
and tell me if it works.
Yeah,
yeah.
See what kind of spark it's throwing.
But I tell you what, it'll make your hair stand up.
It'll light you up, won't it?
What's even worse is the spark plug testers.
Yeah, they'll light you. They'll light you up. Dave, tell us about some of your programs coming up. You have anything coming?
Well, every second, over at the Orlando Executive, that's where I'm at, and every second Thursday of the month, we host a safety seminar there. And I just recently I spoke about spins and stalls. Try to talk to pilot again about getting outside of the comfort zones and, mm-hmm. and working on these scenarios and going out for the certify. We have another one coming up, and we don't do webinars, unfortunately, but we do live, and which is great, you know. And you talked about hearing other guys' story, and mm-hmm. we all speak after the seminars, and we share stories and other guys' experience. And he said one interesting thing here that also applies.
Just one. Mike said
Well, he said a lot, thing. But he said one thing that really caught my attention is that, you know, once you get your pilot license, that's when you're going to learn to fly, you know, and it's very important that you stay connected while you're fresh and continue mm-hmm. doing these maneuvers that you have to do to obtain your private pilot license.
Wow.
So that's it.
And you know, Dave, the a term that you don't hear too often, or at least I don't, maybe I'm not hanging around the airport enough, but hangar flying.
That's right.
You gain a lot out of hangar flying. You really do.
That's
and
right.
It's, I encourage that sitting on a stump, just, you know, whittling on a stick, talking about, you ever stall a Funk, 1946 Funk? Yeah, I have. Yeah, I know a guy that has. Let's call him over. You know, so let's talk about how the Funk flies. Not Wally Funk, but A Funk.
That's right.
By the way, well, if you haven't met Wally, have you met Wally Funk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a hoot. She's been around for a while too. Dave, we're not going to get into the scariest experience that you've had in an airplane, or the scariest person that you've had in an airplane. I'm sure that we've all got war stories. You've got customers that you wish probably weren't customers.
They're not mine anymore.
But there's so much to learn in this industry, right. and there's so much to share, and that's why we want to thank you guys for being out in front. You really are in front of the industry, and we need more of you. We do need.
Sure.
And we are looking forward to getting young guys and gals into this industry. How do you do anything to pull out and try to create youth in your presentations?
I mean, we tried, and like I said, I go over to the flight schools and talk to the students and the CFI, the young, you know, the 18, 19, 20s, and trying to get them to come over and you know, and get them involved. And again, I try to fish in them. I try to tell them about the awards. You know, there's a $10,000 that gets put into a hat. By you participating, it could be a chance that you might win some money here.
Ooh.
So,
10,000 clams.
We don't have anything like that.
Wow. It's
so
just
we need to
pilot.
Protest. We need
pilots.
Money. what I do is I like to... one of the jobs I had is I would bring in elementary school kids, college kids, high school kids, middle school, and tell them, I'd bring them into the hangar and explain to them what aircraft maintenance is, what we do. I even had an engine shop where we had engines tore apart, so I could tell them a little bit about the engine, what the pieces are, and tell them that, you know, they could do this for a living and work on these airplanes and learn how and do what I do. And I always liked elementary kids because I would go to the dollar store and buy the little airplanes, put mm-hmm. them together, mm-hmm. and give them out to all the kids. And at the end of the program, when I got done, all these little kids are throwing all these airplanes all around the hangar, and that was the coolest thing to see.
And in the contest of let's see who would put one together and see who would fly it the farthest.
They didn't. When you're dealing with kindergartners and stuff, they don't care. It just goes wherever.
But at least they're doing it.
They're learning how an airplane flies by throwing these little dollar airplanes around the hangar. So it's a start in aviation.
Excellent. Dave.
So we also have the EAA. We have the Young Eagles. Mm-hmm. So we have some pilots that volunteer with the aircraft. And mm-hmm. we do this like every quarter of a year. And we get these kids and we take them up, hoping to give them some kind of direction and maybe want to become an aviator.
Set the hook.
There you go.
That's a good program.
Set the hook. Gentlemen, I want to thank you. And Dave has been volunteering here with us, actually, at the Florida Aviation Network quite a bit, too. If you were closer, I know you would in your spare time.
I would.
But you're up in the Carolinas?
Hendersonville, North Carolina. I work in Greenville, South Carolina, so I have a little over an hour drive every day to and from. But I enjoy what I do, so the hour drive doesn't bother me because I like what I do. I work, like I said, I work on King Airs. I enjoy what I do.
Well, next time we get together, guys, you can tell us how to trim a PT-6 engine.
I could do that.
And, Dave, I want to hear about your exploits in going up and doing stall spin exercises with your students. So, next interview.
You got it.
Not this one, because these guys are telling me it's time to wrap it up. We're going to make a wrap here.
Wrap it up.
Thank you for joining us. And Ben Coleman, this is going to be a sign-off, and we're going to be catching that next interview. Got some really good stuff, and I could tell you about it, but then you wouldn't tune in. So we'll see you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.